Hello and welcome to the Sales Technology Training Call. This is Rick Cooper. Thanks for joining me today. I've got a lot of great information that I'm going to be sharing with you on the call today. Today's call will include 30 minutes of content and 30 minutes of Q&A. You can check your email for a copy of the notes from today's call. To ask a question or to share a win, you can email me at rickc@ericlofholm.com. A great place to be on the internet during the call is out on our Facebook group. And we have a Facebook group for the Sales Technology Training Program. You can find a link in the email message that I sent out. And if for whatever reason you click on the link and it doesn't take you into the group, it's probably because the Facebook group is set up as a secret group and you have to be added to the group. In order for me to add you to the group, we need to be friends on Facebook. So I included a link in the email where you can click Add Me as a Friend and then let me know that you'd like to join the group and then I can add you. And you can do that by emailing me, or you can send me a private message on Facebook, or you can also make a phone call, and maybe all three of those if I don't respond back. I'm getting better about following up on messages, trying to keep on top of everything on a more regular basis. But if you do have something that I don't respond to, feel free to reach out and contact me and remind me of that, and then I can check in with you. You can also access the audio recordings for the call out on our membership page, and in fact, we have a new page. The old one is still up, but now you can access a new one that's directly on our website, which is at salestechsystems.com, and then it's /STP/archives, STP like the oil, but in this case, STP refers to Sales Technology Program. So just go out there to salestechsystems.com/STP archives, and again, the link is in the email message that I sent out. And so you can access the archived calls there and go back and listen to those. And I do recommend you go back and listen to them. The information that we share here, it's a little bit technical at times. And so it could be the first time you hear this information that you don't understand at all. And so as you research, as you learn, as you start to implement, you'll become more familiar with the terms and the ideas, and then it will make more sense. So you'll definitely benefit from going back and listening to these calls again in the future. The Sales Technology Training Program is a 12-week program that's designed to help you to implement sales technology systems in your business to be able to generate leads and earn sales online. And there are 12 modules of content, and today we're covering one of the modules. And before we jump into that, I just wanted to give you a quick reminder that our last webinar for the social media marketing series is coming up tomorrow. That's on Wednesday, March 26th at 2 p.m. Pacific time. That's 5 p.m. Eastern time. And I included the link in the email that I sent out. So if you have not yet registered for the webinar series, I encourage you to go and register now for that. And I have a membership page set up, and in fact, let me just make a note. I'll send out a reminder message. Reminder message with a link to videos. And I'll send you that, so if you've missed any of the videos, you can go back and watch them again. Or if you've watched it and want to go back and watch it again, you can do that as well. Okay. So let's go ahead and jump into our topic for today. Today, continuing our theme here along booking appointments. And remember, as we go through this series of 12 modules, they're focused around the three key systems that Eric Lofholm teaches to help grow your business. So the three key systems are on lead generation, appointment setting, and lead conversion. And so I want to get you thinking about what are the skills or what are the systems that you need to be implementing in your business, which are going to help you to improve your results. And so the three key systems tie in through all the content that we're teaching in this program. So, for instance, I'm going to go out to the registration page so I can give you the individual modules. The first four modules that we covered in the program are on lead generation. The next four modules that we have covered are on appointment setting. And so today we're covering Module 8, which is on social media techniques to book appointments. And then the last four modules that we'll cover are on lead conversion. And so those are teaching you strategies to generate sales online. And what will happen when we reach the end of Module 12 in the program, we'll have a bonus call. And on that call, we'll do a group coaching session. And then the following week, we'll resume back at Module 1. So this is an ongoing program. I do encourage you to, as Eric Laflamme says, stay in the conversation. And so that means coming back and listening to these calls again in the future. Because here's the thing. Each time you listen to this content and information, you're going to be at a different place. Like this technology conversation, there's a lot of information to take and learn and implement. And it's very possible that you may not have all the information you need initially and the understanding to be able to implement that. You might not have all the systems in place. And so as you add new systems, as you learn how to implement, then it's going to help you to improve your results. And so coming back to these calls again in the future gets you plugged into this information, gets you plugged into the conversation, and be able to connect with other members in the program in terms of what they're learning as well. Now, again, while we're going through the call today, I want to encourage you to join me out on the Facebook page for the Sales Technology Program. And by the way, if you haven't already done it, I do encourage you to add it to your favorites. And that way it makes it easy on Facebook. You can add a group to your favorites, and so you can quickly go out there and access it. And we're going to have a goal for today's call. So today we're going to set a goal of having 50 comments. So I might bump it up as we go forward. But I want you to share your takeaways as we go through the call today. And so I can already see CJ, Tom, and Real Cook are all posting in the group. So thanks for joining and posting there. And again, as I cover this content, go ahead and share what you're learning out there today. So again, our topic today is on social media techniques to book appointments. So this is going to wrap up our last module on booking appointments. And so today we're talking about how to leverage social media for this. So one of the best ways to really to book appointments through social media is by simply sending out private messages. And so a private message is a message that you're sending to an individual. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the process of sending messages and receiving messages and contacting back and forth. Because if you're not in the habit of sending messages and then all of a sudden you're starting to send messages, then your activity is going to increase there, and so it becomes a little bit more unmanageable. And so I just want to talk through that process of how that works, and I'll also share with you some ideas on what messages to send and what not to send also. So you have a couple different ways that you can access your messages on Facebook. Now, first of all, you might be on your computer or on a tablet computer, for instance, or you might be on a mobile device. If you're on your computer, like a laptop or a desktop computer, then you access Facebook through the browser, and then you would go in, and then you would see your messages there. There's two ways to find your messages. One is to click on the home page of Facebook. And then over on the left-hand side, you'll see an option for messages. You can click on that, and that will take you into your messages. And I like that view of the messages because what's nice about it is it allows you to see multiple conversations at once. And Facebook has made a lot of improvements to their chat function, shouldn't say chat, because Facebook has a separate chat function. Chat is different from sending private messages. One of the things that they did with the messages is they created a little sound effect so that when you receive a new message coming in from someone, it makes a little sound that goes bloop. And so when you hear that message, then it kind of triggers you, oh, I better check my messages. And so it kind of keeps you in the mind space of checking messages. So Facebook is not something you just want to leave on all day long. And the reason is because it can be a big distraction. What I recommend for people is that you spend a certain amount of time in Facebook, so while you're out there, you can go check your messages and respond to them. So part of it is a time management technique of being more effective about how you're utilizing Facebook. And so if you have a focused amount of time, say 30 minutes or 15 minutes that you're on Facebook, that's a good time to go in and check your messages and respond back to people. Another way to find your messages is through the options in the top right corner. So again, if you're using your browser to access your Facebook, you'll notice in the upper right corner there's a series of three icons at the top. The first icon is for friend requests, the second one is for messages, and the third one is for notifications. So the middle one is for messages, and if you click on that, then it will drop down a little window where it allows you to see recent messages, and there's also an option to see all messages, and then you can click on that, and that will take you to the main menu again. And there's actually a third way you can check messages, which is that you can go to somebody's page and click on the message button. And when you do that, it will pop up a little dialog box where it shows you the last couple messages back and forth, and then you can type in a message there directly. That's probably my least favorite option, although sometimes that might be the fastest option. And then obviously with a mobile device, you have different options to be able to access your messages there. You can access it through the Facebook app. And there's also another tool, and if you have a mobile device and you don't have this, I certainly recommended it. One of my clients recommended that I get it, and it is called Messenger. And it's specifically designed to integrate in with Facebook. So it's just Facebook messages. It's no other chat features or anything like that. It's just Facebook private messages. But what's nice about it is that sometimes you just want to check your messages and you don't want to see what else is going on Facebook. So if you're interested in prospecting people, if you're interested in having conversations with people, Messenger is great because it bypasses all of the noise of what's going on the news feed and everything else like that, which tends to be more of a distraction at times. And you can just go into Messenger and you can just think about who you want to contact, and then you can message them. Of course, if you're doing that, then you don't have access to a bigger keyboard, which, you know, I like sometimes to copy and paste a link or do something else like that. That's a little bit more cumbersome on a mobile device, but I find it to be very handy just in terms of being able to scroll up and down, see people's names. The new conversations are bolded, and so it's easy to see that, and then you can click and then go into that conversation and talk to that specific person. And you can also do a search and look by name and then find that person and then send them a message. One of the other nice things, and I don't know if this is necessarily nice or not, it's just an additional feature. It has what's called chat heads. And so what ends up happening is that when someone sends you a message, their face will appear on the main screen, your dashboard, the main screen of your mobile device. And so you see their little face, and you can click on that, and it will open directly up into their particular message. And it's possible if you have multiple messages coming in that you have kind of multiple chat heads, but whatever is the most current one, I think, shows up top. And then you can close out individual heads. You just, like, put your finger on it, and you drag it down to the bottom, and it will close that one out. So it kind of makes it a little bit fun, you know. It can kind of be fun to, like, put your finger on somebody's head and, like, you know, throw them off of the screen. So, you know, it just kind of makes the experience a little more interesting as you're communicating and chatting with people. But this is a power user technique. If you want to be messaging and contacting people, you really need to get into a mode of being able to quickly respond to people, to have conversations, and so there's a mindset around it. And again, you don't want to just be doing this all day long. There are certain times that you just kind of put that out of mind, and then other times you want to be in and more working on having conversations with people. But this is how you develop relationships over time. It's having conversations with people, having private one-on-one conversations to develop a relationship. In fact, it was Dr. Ivan Meisner, who's founder of BNI, that said, networking is not about hunting. It's about farming. It's about cultivating relationships. Don't engage in premature solicitation. You'll be a better networker for it if you remember that. So, you know, certainly there is an aspect to hunting when finding new prospects, but what he's talking about there is that you have a lot of people that you're already in contact with. What can you do to cultivate those relationships over time? And it's just reaching out and touching base with them from time to time. And so Facebook is one of the best tools to be able to do that. There are other tools that you can use. I use Twitter quite a bit and use that as a relationship development tool. And you can also use LinkedIn. LinkedIn is great, by the way, if you have a business-oriented audience that you're trying to reach. Facebook tends to be better if you're just reaching consumers or a B2C audience, but if you're reaching a business-to-business audience or B2B, then LinkedIn tends to be the better tool. But I also find it great for reaching my audience. Many of my clients are coaches, speakers, trainers, and consultants, and a lot of them have gravitated toward Facebook and use that as a primary tool for communication. So you really have to analyze your own audience and think about where they are, and then just kind of, you know, test that over time, test that assumption as to whether they're there, and experiment and try out different sites and see which is going to work best. By the way, if you are trying to reach an audience of women, and in particular women who are consumers, one of the best sites where you can reach them is through Pinterest. Pinterest is a picture-oriented site where you pin pictures out on boards. Pinterest gives you the option to like the pins. It gives you an option to comment on pins and also share pins as well. So you can do similar things to what you do on Facebook, but you do it in relationship to pictures. And, of course, to be active on the site, you really need to be creating your own images and sharing them out there as well. In fact, since I opened up the topic, Susan, who's one of our resident experts in the group who is an expert in the area of visual marketing, Susan has different resources related to using pictures and marketing. Susan, if you want to share a link out to, I think you've got a blog post talking about creating visual images, feel free to do that so that people can get connected out to that resource that you share. At some point, I'll create, in fact, I think I have my own blog post, but it's just easier to ask you to share yours out there. I'm popping out to the Facebook page right now. I see that we've got 13 posts out there, so great job for getting into action. And go ahead and share out there in the group as well. And Roy says, can someone message me the call-in info? Let me pop over real quick. I did set up an event earlier today and shared that, and the event has the phone number in it. And so I will pull this up real quick and drop it right in to the group so that Roy can hop on. And again, a best practice would be just to set up a recurring event on your calendar that has the phone information in there. And that just makes it super easy to be able to go out there and, whoops. Unfortunately, I didn't copy the right thing. Well, I'll see if I can get it while I'll multitask as I'm going through here. At any rate, let me go ahead and continue on. So what can you do to cultivate those relationships over time? What can you do to reach out and be able to develop those relationships with people? What's nice is that as time goes on, then it gives you the opportunity to be able to get to know people better. That's one of the things I love about social media sites is that really over time, it gives you the opportunity to be able to get to know people at a deeper level because a lot of people share personal information out on Facebook. And so you can get to know them by sharing that information or by posting out there and then communicating with them over time. All right, I just shared the phone number for Roy. You can join in there, Roy. Now, another great technique for setting appointments, and we'll get into more details here in a moment about actually using private messages and what scripts to use and things like that that will get a conversation started and how to book an appointment. But before that, I wanted to talk a little bit about Facebook events. For some of you who are on the call today, you have the opportunity to be able to schedule an event where you can share information. So you can educate your audience and then you can lead people to a next step in working with you. And so a presentation like that is definitely an appointment. An appointment really, one definition of an appointment is where you have an opportunity to deliver your sales presentation. And obviously there might be interactive components where you're talking to people, asking questions and learning more. You know, you can certainly share information about your products or services and then ask for the sale. And so as a way of getting more people to your events, whether it be a teleseminar, a webinar, a Google Hangout, or even a live event, like a seminar or a workshop, you can share those events through Facebook. And so Facebook gives you the capability to create an event and then invite people to it. If you've never set up an event, then I would definitely encourage you to do that because you'll get to see some of the benefits. And one of the benefits, by the way, of using Facebook events is viral marketing. Viral marketing is where you get other people sharing what you're doing. And so I love to set up an event, and I love to invite people to that event, and then suddenly I see new people indicating that they're going to the event, and I don't even know who they are. because somehow they saw it through somebody else. Because Facebook starts to market and promote for you, even without advertisements. They'll start to say, so-and-so is attending this event. Other people will see it, and they'll click on it to get more information, and they'll click to join. Now, keep in mind that just because somebody clicks on the button to join an event doesn't necessarily mean they're fully going to complete the registration process, opt in, or register, and then attend your event. See, sales and marketing is a numbers game. And so you always have to start off with bigger numbers, because the further down the chain they get, you know, the fewer and fewer people there are. And so there might be people that express interest and they click the button to join, and then a certain percentage of those are going to go and register for the event. And out of those who register, a certain percentage will be on the live event. And people who aren't on the live event, some of them may also listen to the recording. And then out of the people that are on the live event or listen to the recording, a certain number of people might purchase, and then so on and so forth. And that's just a fact that sales is a numbers game. And so you over time, you want to build your audience. You want to build your network. You want to reach more people. And that's going to allow you the opportunity, whether it's through email or social media or however you're communicating, to reach more people. But one of the things that I like about Facebook events is it gives me more leverage than, say, something like picking up the phone. Like, a lot of my day is consumed with talking to people, either training people or meeting with clients or talking to new prospective clients and having conversations. And there's only so much time that I have to actually pick up the phone and then proactively reach out and talk to people. Whereas I can just go into a Facebook event and I can invite 1,000 people to an event, and now 1,000 people are notified. And that's through a free account with Facebook. What a great tool. You want to be leveraging technology in a way that gets your name out there and keeps you top of mind. You want to create top of mind awareness with people. And, there are many people that are on top of using tools like that to stay in front of people. And if you're not doing that currently, then you want to learn the skills to be able to do that. Now, people love going to events. In fact, it was Michael Port, who is author of the book Booked Solid, that said, always have an event to invite people to. Always have an event to invite people to. See, the thing is, if you don't have an event, like you might host a teleseminar or webinar, and then you say, okay, well, I'm done with that, and then you might not do that again for another month or two. The problem is that if you're reaching out to people in the meantime, you don't have anything to share. Now, you might have other things that you can share in your business, and that's great, but people like events. And so people will sign up for events even if they don't plan on attending them. They want to get the recording. They just want to feel like they're, like, I guess it's through osmosis that they want to get the information. But people sign up for stuff all the time. So one of the nice things is that events are great for lead generation. Events will attract new people to you. You want to be sharing your events with the people that you know, because that will create viral marketing. They will sign up for events, and then their friends will see it, and they'll sign up for it as well. And, of course, you can also do advertising too. Most people wait too long. Like, they set up an event, and then they wait a long time before they actually start promoting it. And so the thing is, you want to get the word out there as quickly as possible. You want to take advantage of the opportunity that you have a future event, and then you want to build up to it. You want to lead up to it and have people participate in that event. So now let's talk for a moment about the actual kind of appointment setting process in terms of events. So you have the Facebook event, and that's great. And by the way, if you don't have a more sophisticated process, you could do something as simple as just simply putting a phone number. Like if you're doing a teleseminar, you could put the phone number directly into the Facebook event. Or if you have something like a webinar registration, you can include the link directly there. And that's great. That'll either get the phone number in their hands, or it'll get them registered through the webinar. The only problem with that is it doesn't necessarily build your list. And so, obviously one of the key components that we've talked about in this program is around lead generation. The first four modules that we covered in the program or on lead generation. So I'm always interested in how can I get people onto my email list. And so the way that I do that is I set up a registration page. And a registration page is just simply an opt-in page. It's a page where they can fill out the form and opts them into your email marketing system. So you can immediately inform them of the details, but then you can also market to them over time. Now, by the way, let me just pop out there onto the Facebook page. I just want to see if who's posting out in the group and make sure that we are on track with new comments. So we're going to reach our goal of 50 today. And let's see. And in a moment, by the way, I'll open up for questions. So now would be a good time. If you have any questions, go ahead and start posting them out in the group. Or you can also send me an email at rickc@ericlawfirm.com. Looks like we're up to 18 comments, so we've got a ways to go. So I encourage you to keep sharing there. Looks like Susan also shared the link out there regarding the graphics for creating images. So you can go check that out on the Facebook page too. So I'll pop back out there in a few minutes. Now, another technology tool that you can use when it comes to booking appointments online is to use an online scheduling tool. And I've talked before in the program about using tools like TimeTrade and others. One of the benefits of a service like TimeTrade is that it you can set up a specific appointment. You can have a specific times that people can book with you. You can link that up to a Google Calendar, and then you can send that link and then have people click and then sign up for an appointment. So this makes a great tool now if you want to book an appointment with somebody through social media. Because, you know, one way to do it, like if you were sending private messages back and forth and you wanted to schedule an appointment, you could say, you know, like once you get to a person to the point where they say, yes, I'm interested in talking, then it's like, okay, well, when do we talk? Well, it's not like on the phone where you can just like have a conversation back and forth and pick a time, because oftentimes with social media communications, there's a lag time. You post a message. You know, maybe they respond back immediately, maybe they don't respond back for 2 hours. And so these conversations sometimes take a while to implement. And so doing something like picking a time to talk, you know, by the time if you're trying to pick something within a couple days, by the time they actually, you finalize it, that time might already be coming right up. So having a link that you can provide where they can click and then select a time to chat makes it very effective. Now, one thing I'll indicate, I have had some resistance from some people about using a service like that. I had a referral one time from someone, and they had contacted me through Facebook, so I responded back to them, and I said, yes, I'd be happy to chat. Here's a link to schedule a time to talk. And for whatever reason, that just seemed to be really offensive to them, that I would respond back to them and say, click on this link to schedule an appointment with me. And, some people are just resistant to technology. So I want you to be aware of that, that some people just don't like that. Which, you know, the fact that we were having a conversation through a social media site, you know, I wouldn't have thought that. But sometimes you just have to be open to that someone might want a more personal touch. So, you know, listen to what people are saying to you. If they say something like, call me at such and such number, they're probably stating a preference up front that they would rather have a phone call from you. And so that might be one potential option, is that you just simply pick up the phone and call them to pick a time to chat. So, you know, look for subtle cues like that, and that will tell you people's preference. Another thing that I found handy is that I'll say something like, I might ask them, like, what would be the best day in the next week to chat? Or I might say, next Tuesday or Wednesday look pretty good for me. How do they look for you? So I might start off with a few probing questions to just get a sense of what would be a good time frame for them to chat. And then once they pick a specific day, like they may say, oh, yeah, Wednesday looks good for me. Oh, great. What about Wednesday at 10 a.m. or would 2 p.m. be better? So very much a similar process as if you were on the phone. You can also do through private message on Facebook. And by the way, you can use these same techniques, for instance, on LinkedIn as well. But oftentimes communications on LinkedIn are even slower than on Facebook because, those messages come in through LinkedIn. They also go out through email message, so it depends on how quickly people are getting to their email. One other thing to note about emails coming in that are going out through LinkedIn if somebody has a Gmail account, Gmail implemented a strategy last year where they created three separate inboxes. So instead of just having one primary inbox now, there are three inboxes. There's a what's called a primary inbox, then there's a social inbox, and then there is a promotion inbox. And so, you know, if you're sending out email messages, your message might end up in the promotion message box. If you are contacting them through LinkedIn, that might end up in the social box. And so some people don't get to those inboxes as often. And so, you know, depending, you know, someone might not see your LinkedIn message for a couple days or a couple weeks, depending. So just keep that in mind. That's one of the reasons I like Facebook. I find that the communications on Facebook are much faster than communications I have, say, through Twitter or through LinkedIn. But you might have a different experience. It just depends on who you're trying to reach and what their habits are. All right. Let's go ahead and open up for questions. I still have more content to share, but I want to answer any questions that you might have. So let me pop out there and look in our Facebook group and read the messages here. So let's see. Susan says, hi, everybody. It took me a long time to get logged in here using my old laptop. I'm recording a webinar at the same time. Roy says, hi, Susan. Roy says, don't engage in premature solicitation. Good quote. Yeah, that's the Ivan Meisner quote. That's a good one. Susan says, hi, Roy. Didn't know you were in the class. Susan says, I tend to use Facebook messaging more than the others. In fact, in the past 2 weeks, I've scheduled 4 appointments using Facebook messaging. Okay, well, if you need a testimonial about whether Facebook messaging works, there you go. There's Susan right there using Facebook messaging. See, the thing about tools like this is that there's a learning curve. See, sometimes people just assume that something is not going to work for them. But, you know, what happens when you make an assumption? Well, I won't fill in the blank there, but it has to do with you don't always get and here's the thing, your mindset needs to be focused on what you can do. And so there are a lot of people that are out there taking action. And if you're not taking the same actions, how can you expect to get the same results? And so Susan is saying, hey, this works very well for me. I'm scheduling appointments. I booked 4 appointments just using Facebook alone. So what's nice about it is you're reaching out and you're tapping people and connecting with them in a way that they're comfortable connecting. And again, you know, I think a lot of this comes from the fact that today many people are utilizing mobile technologies. They have a mobile phone, and so they have their social media sites directly on there. So you're kind of reaching them at, you know, in some cases their primary times and also at in-between times. You know, if somebody's at the grocery store and they're standing in line, they might go and check to see who's, you know, contacting them because they can have a quick conversation back and forth. You know, whereas if you tried to call them, they might just let the phone ring through the voicemail, but they would probably respond if you connected through them through a social media site. See, habits are changing. The way that people communicate is changing. You need to be up on what people are doing these days and how they prefer to be contacted. All right. So Susan shares the link out to her website. She says, Rick, thanks for the opportunity to share my blog. Here's a good post about free images, but there are lots more on my site, so you can search by categories. And she includes the link out there. Real Cook says, forgot to click join and like buttons. Done. Awesome. Susan says, here's one more on 10 ways to use more visual images in content marketing. And Susan, one other thing I'll bring up. Susan is also a published author. Susan, if you want to share more details about your book and let people know that about your book on visual marketing, that would be great. You can go ahead and post that in the group as well, and I'll mention it here on the call. But Susan is a bona fide expert. She has studied for years visual marketing methods, and this is great to use in your content marketing online. Real Cook says, just noticed that when you click on the join button for events, you get a notification reminding you about events. How cool is that? Yeah, absolutely. Because here's the thing. Out of sight is out of mind. And so people might put it on their calendar, but if they don't look at their calendar, they're not going to notice the fact that the event is coming up. And so if they're in Facebook, if they're on there on a regular basis, then Facebook's going to notify them about an event coming up. And a lot of people do keep their information up and available, and it makes it easy for them to go out and get access to that. So absolutely, that's a great notice there, Real. Teresa says, hi, everyone. I just found the right page to post on. There seemed to be two identical pages, so it was a little confusing. Probably the other page you're looking at would actually be for the event itself. And I've gotten some feedback on calls that it's confusing to find that one. So I'm going back to just using a pinned post in the group where it has details about or for this particular post itself and then posting it at the top. So you should be able to just go to the page and look for the pinned post at the top of the page and then go ahead and respond there. If you're using a mobile device, by the way, you might have to go to the group and then look for the button at the top that says pinned post and then click there and go and respond. But if you're using a website, then it should just be the post at the top. Susan says, I think sometimes people don't want to schedule an appointment because it seems too formal to them, more like a sales call than just casual personal chatting. That's a really good notice. I hadn't even thought about that. That's a good point. People might feel like if they're having to come to an appointment that it's going to be more of a presentation rather than picking up the phone. I've been in sales, gosh, I could almost say all my life, but you know, really seriously for about the last 20 years. And so I just have a mindset and a culture around appointments. But for a lot of people who aren't in sales or don't consider themselves to be in sales, that might be an intimidating thing. So that's a really good point. And I guess, technically, an appointment could be unscheduled. It could just be picking up the phone and having a conversation with someone and then just letting the conversation guide itself. And then if it fits, to either to schedule an appointment or to share details about a specific product, program, or service. So that's a really good notice, Susan. I might have to come up with a distinction around that because that's not something I usually teach. So that's a really good point. I'm going to put a like on that one. Susan says, welcome, Teresa. Teresa says, welcome, Susan. All right, let me go ahead and refresh the page. I have a feeling we've got some other posts out there. While I'm waiting for that to refresh, let me just share a few more ideas. Let's see. Okay, let's talk a little bit about how to start a conversation online that will lead to an appointment. So, again, we're talking about private conversations. We're not really going to get into, you know, posting on your page or sharing details about, you know, that would lead to appointments, although that could be part of it. If we have time, maybe we can address that. But I just want to talk about this concept of spending time reaching out to people individually. And you know what? Let me just throw a challenge out here. I like throwing out challenges, and so this might be a good challenge for you. This is a challenge that my mentor gave me last year. He challenged me to send 10 private messages a day to people on Facebook. And what he said was make 3 of those messages be to joint venture partners, and the other 7 be to prospects or potential customers. And so you can either just, you know, follow the 10 a day, or you could follow the same thing where you break it down into a specific number of people you want to contact for joint ventures and people that you want to contact for, more as a prospect for your business. But, I like to focus on things that I can do every single day. There's something about establishing a habit. And part of social media marketing is establishing effective habits that are repeatable and duplicatable that you can implement in your business. And I think this concept of sending private messages is a good one. Of course, what you'll find is as you start reaching out and making 10 contacts, the biggest question that comes up is, which 10 people should I call? And so you need a systematic method for dealing with that. I typically recommend using tools like spreadsheets, because then you can compile a list of people to call, and then you can just have a list that you can work through over time to accomplish that. So Seth Godin, one of my favorite marketing authors, his topics are broader than marketing, but he writes a lot about marketing. He said, conversations among the members of your marketplace happen whether you like it or not. Good marketing encourages the right sort of conversations. And so you want to think about what conversations do you want to be in with your customers and clients. And not all those conversations, by the way, have to be business oriented. On my personal Facebook page, I ask a lot of questions that are not business oriented, but they get people interacting and communicating with me. And as you're developing trust and rapport with people, then you can ask them more business-oriented questions. And as you find people contacting you, you can also reach out and private message them as well. So part of your prospecting through social media should also just be based on who's actually reaching out and interacting with you, because that provides a perfect opportunity for you to follow up and develop that relationship and for you to talk offline. So let me give you 5 questions to use when starting a conversation. So these would all be questions. So first of all, let me give you a formula. If you're going to send somebody a private message on Facebook, number one, keep it short. One of the biggest mistakes that I see is people often send too long of a message. They'll send like 3 paragraphs of information. That automatically feels like too much information. They're trying to communicate too much information up front. They're trying to just get everything in on one message. Some people might actually be hiring somebody to do that for them. And so they're trying to get their money's worth by having them post as much as possible. But really that just kind of works against you. So I recommend that you keep your messages short. And this would typically be for your first message. You can use longer messages over time. But really what you're wanting is to create a dialogue. You're interested in creating a conversation with people that goes back and forth. It's just like if you walked up to somebody at a networking event. You probably wouldn't walk up to somebody and then just talk for 3 minutes straight, would you? That would not be a best practice. What you would do is you would walk up. You would probably start off and just share briefly who you are and what you do. And then you would ask them a question. And then you would just let the conversation evolve as you talked. And that's going to be the best method over time. So keep your message about 2 to 3 sentences long, and then always end with a question. And the reason you want to end with a question is because that creates the opportunity for them to follow up. See, human beings respond in predictable ways. And typically when you ask people a question, they will want to respond back because they see the question and then their brain thinks of the answer and then they want to respond back to you. So this is a best practice, ask questions. So let me give you 5 different questions that you could ask. And, here's the thing. When you're sending out messages, you don't want to just use a template or a script and then just use the same message over and over. And the reason is that Facebook might perceive that message as being spam if they see the same message being used over and over, and therefore they might block your account from actually sending private messages. I have had that happen before. Facebook said you can no longer send messages for a week because either what happens is somebody views your message as spam, and so they click on the spam button, and so Facebook gets that feedback, or Facebook sees that you're posting the same message over and over, and it says, hey, you're posting spam, we're not going to let you post messages for a while. So Facebook gives a little slap on the wrist. You can't use a feature for a while, and then they give you the opportunity to use it again. So you kind of tend to learn what works and what doesn't work. So what does work is creating a template to work from and then just customizing it for each person that you contact. So typically I'll just change up a few of the words in each message and then do that over time. And again, if you're doing 10 messages a day, it's not like you're doing 100 at a time. So it's better to do 10 a day than to just try to do 100 in one day and then don't do any the rest of the week. So social media marketing tends to work better when it's just consistent and smaller increments over time. So let me give you the 5 questions. One of them is, what's new in your world? And obviously there are a lot of different ways to say this. You want to find the words that fit for you, but it's kind of a generalized statement asking them what's new and what's going on. So that's a great question to ask. It's very open-ended. It allows them to interpret what it means. Some people will respond back and tell you something that's going on in their personal life. Some people might respond back from more of a business standpoint, but it just kind of gives you a sense of where they're at, and it starts a good conversation back and forth. And then you can also share something briefly. And again, each time you respond back, end with another question. Lead to another step. Another question is, how can I best help you? So obviously you would want to say something first, which that question would make sense. And again, maybe this is not the first question that you ask. Maybe that's a second or a third question that you ask. Another question is, who makes a good referral partner for you? Who makes a good referral partner? So again, this demonstrates that you have a focus on them. See, a lot of people that contact me, they have a focus on themselves. And so they're putting their information first. And so what you want to think about is, what information can you ask that will get them, interested in having a conversation with you to where they see that, hey, there's some positive outcome for me that might come from this. All right, let me pop back out on the Facebook page. And if you haven't had an opportunity to post out in the group, go ahead and post there. I'll check out in a moment and see who else is on the call who may not have had a chance to post out in the Facebook group. I do encourage you to be active, unless, of course, you are driving, for instance. Then you don't have to be active in the group, obviously. Some folks might be calling in from work and listening in. Okay, it looks like we've got a few other messages out here. One moment. Okay, let's see here. Carolyn, or CJ says, is there a way to promote the event after I've created it? Yes, there's a couple things that you can do to promote a Facebook event. Number one, you'll find on the first thing you can do is invite people to the event. So there's a button where you click, which will allow you to invite your friends. Now, I'll give you a little caution here, because I learned this the hard way. Like most things, I've violated most of the rules on Facebook at some point or another. And one of the things I learned was you don't want to necessarily invite all of your friends on Facebook. And don't want to invite them all at the same time. So one of the best practices that I've learned when inviting people to events is I break it out over time. So I'll set up the event, and then I'll usually go in and invite maybe 50 to 100 people. Then I'll go back maybe a couple hours later and invite another 50 or 100. And then I'll go back and invite more people the next day. And I've just found that tends to be better. I did have a couple of events where I invited all of my Facebook friends all at once. Which, by the way, is extremely time-consuming. I don't know if you've ever gone in to invite people to events, but it's a pretty tedious process to do that because you have to click little check boxes and then click to invite people. So it's kind of a slow, time-consuming process. But it's one of the reasons most people don't do it because it takes so much time. You definitely want to do that because and part of the way that I simplify the process is I leverage my lists of friends on Facebook. So on Facebook, you can create different lists. And so I have several groups of my ideal customers or prospects. And so then I can go into the event, and then I can select a specific list, and then I can invite just those people. Because I have over 3,900 friends. So obviously, it would be pretty time-consuming. I mean, it's even time-consuming just to scroll down in the box. It's much faster if you filter just based on a specific list. So some of these things on social media, it takes a little time to develop, but like most things, I just do it as I go. Every time I add a new friend, I add them to a group. I add them to a list, and that makes it easy for me to be able to go back and invite them to an event later if I want to. The other way that you can promote an event is click on the share button, and then you can share the event on your personal page and or on your business page. And the third way to promote an event is that you can either post it on your business page and then you can boost the post, or you can pay for a Facebook ad. Either way, either with one of those last two, you're paying to boost or create the ad, but they have different ways that the information is communicated. Susan says, I find Facebook direct messages easier to connect with people because they respond faster than with email, especially if I happen to be on Facebook at the same time that we are, and we can message back and forth to set a date. Yeah, this is a really good point, Susan, and what it reminds me of, it's similar to before social media sites were big, people used chat tools like Yahoo Messenger and ICQ and other tools like that. And so even Skype, which is probably one of the most popular chat tools that's out there. But I spend a whole lot less time these days on Skype, and I spend a lot more time on Facebook. So you realistically have to be where the people are. And so if your audience is out on Facebook, and if they respond to Facebook messages, then that's going to be a great way to connect with them. So, again, everything comes back down to your specific audience. Like, for instance, if you're trying to reach younger people, What you might find is that younger people are leaving Facebook, or at least they're not as active on Facebook as they used to be, and they're using other sites. In fact, one of the sites that is growing massively among the younger audience is called Snapchat. Snapchat. So Snapchat is a chat messaging tool. And so a lot of people are now using that as a way to communicate because they're really just interested in having conversations. And so everything else that's going on Facebook is just kind of noise for them. So, as more and more marketers are active on Facebook, the younger audience is less interested in that. So it all comes down to figure out who your audience is, where they are, how you can reach them, and how you can communicate with them. Because Facebook has now becoming dominated with, people who are older. And that doesn't necessarily mean super old, but it does mean people who are, like their parents and their grandparents are now on Facebook and communicating on there. And so, again, just think about who your audience, think about where they are, and any technique you have to try out for yourself and see if it works. So Susan is finding that she's able to reach her ideal clients. You would want to experiment with it and see if you can reach your ideal clients there and whether they'll respond back to you. Let's see. Real says, I think that's because their face pops up on your screen, Susan. I'm not sure if that's referring to the chat heads I was talking about earlier or what else, but that could be a good point, is that if you're using a mobile device, their face pops up right there, and so it kind of grabs your attention, and it makes you want to respond back versus using some other sites. Susan says, my book is not quite finished, but I have gotten back into working on it after a hiatus, so I plan to have it published by June 1st. It is called Get Your Message Into Their Brains, Neuromarketing Secrets to Improve Your Presentations, Videos, and Other Content Marketing. Awesome. So you'll have to share that, Susan, when it is published and out there. Susan says, okay, I have a question about direct messages. Where do I find the emoticons and the stickers? Somebody told me about them recently, but I can't find them. Well, if you're using the mobile tool, then it would be down near where you type in your message. Like on mine, well, through Messenger, which is what I use for the communications. Let me just pull it up real quick. I'll click on one of these. If I'm typing a message, right next to it, it has a little smiley face. And if I click that, then it brings up a couple different options. I see, let's see, whoops. Oh, interesting. Funny. I never even clicked on this, but there's a little shopping cart item icon. When I clicked on that, it takes me to something called the sticker store. And it looks like it will download different sets of icons for you and like a ton of them. So I never even knew that was there. So see, I wouldn't have known that if you hadn't asked that question. But again, you click on the little smiley face and then it brings up a list of options. One of them is the shopping cart where you can go get stickers. And I would assume they're free, but I don't know. And then it will show you your most recently used ones. And then there's one on mine. It has a little image of a cat. And so there's cats doing all sorts of funny things, and the little cartoon cats. And then there's a smiley face where and you can kind of click and scroll down, and it gives you all sorts of little smiley face options. So I just say, experiment with it a little bit, click around, and see what's available there. Oops. And it's funny. I just actually shared a little picture of a cat with somebody I had pulled up here. With a rolling pan and dough. So she'll probably wonder what the heck I'm doing sharing that, but that's okay. that's kind of fun. Let me go back over to the Facebook group. It looks like we've got a couple more messages out there. In fact, let me just refresh real quick. Let me go back and also share with you the last two questions that you can ask when starting a conversation. One is, do you have any upcoming events? So if you are working with people who host events, then that's a good question to ask. And, of course, a follow-up question would be, would you like me to invite other people to that event? And so you can use your influence over your network as a way to create social currency with somebody. And, it's a good thing to ask people first. I mean, you could just go out and do it, which would be one thing. But if you ask someone if you could share it and then you go share it and do that, then it demonstrates that you are good at following through on commitments. And people like to see that. People like to see that you commit to do something and that you follow through and get it done. Another question is, what is one of your most important goals right now? And again, that might not be one of the first questions. That might just kind of seem out of left field. You want to make sure that when you're conversing through social media that there's a nice flow from one piece to the next. So I'm just giving you kind of conversation starters. You can take these questions and plug them in where you want. Okay. Heading back over to the Facebook page. Oh, and I was going to check to see who else is out on the call that hasn't joined in yet. One moment. All right. Let's see. Alan Murphy. I don't think I've seen a message from Alan Murphy in the group. Let me know, Alan, if you're having troubles getting in the group. You can send me an email message or call me and leave a message for me that way. Brian Hearn, I see you on the call, but I don't see you in the group. And then Les Jarvala was on the call as well today. So if you're having problems getting out in the group, let me know, and I can help you with that. And it looks like we're up to over 38 comments, so our goal today is on 50. All right, one moment. Here we go. All right. Let's see. Tom says, this works particularly well for Rick. I'm not sure what that was referencing. Sometimes these comments are a little out of sequence, so I get lost about what we were talking about at the time. Okay, Roy shares each of the questions out there. Oh, maybe that's what Tom was referring to, was those questions probably work well for me. Yeah. So you might have to come up with your own questions that fit for you. Real Cook says, Susan, do you see the smiley face in the message window? Click on it. Just remember, as you pick a sticker, it is sent immediately. That's a really good point, Real. And that's what happened when I was checking this, is I accidentally clicked on it, and it just goes automatically. It doesn't, like, give you an option to, like, wait and then click, you know, to send it. As soon as you hit that, it automatically pops that little sticker up. So he says, kind of embarrassing if you wanted to see one closer up and you didn't mean to send it. Been there, done that. Yeah, I've had that where you send it, and then, because, you know, those stickers, it's like they communicate moods and emotions, and then, you know, people wonder out, you know, what happened. So you either have to, like, send another one, follow up quickly, or say, oops, you know, do something like that to let them know. So, you know, it's the technology age. Sometimes you make mistakes. You just have to let people know, and people can relate to that. And then Real says, yes, Rick, that's exactly what I meant about their faces popping up. Yeah, the little chat heads. I like that. It makes a little sound. And, you know, mobile devices, they kind of draw you in because you hear the little sound effect and you're going, ooh, I got a chat head. Let me go see who's contacting me. And again, you know, that can be effective for communication, but it can also be distracting as well. Sometimes I'll just turn my sound off on my device and sit it out of the way so that doesn't bother me and I can get focused in on what I need to do. Susan says, yes, I found it and have been playing with it, sending pictures to Real Cook. All right, good. Carolyn says, to promote an event, invite my friend, share, or boost a post on my page or a Facebook ad. Let's see. Roy says, comment goal 50. Yeah, I think we're starting to close in on that. Roy says, yes, I think Tom was referring to one of the questions. Susan says, but there seems to be a preview option for the stickers, so you don't. Interesting. If you figure out how to do that preview option, go ahead and post that in the group, Susan, because I haven't seen how to do that either. So, good. All right. Oh, you know what? I'm getting a couple messages or a couple friend requests coming through. Oh, good. Alan Murphy, I see your request, and I will approve yours. And then someone else, I don't think they're in the group, but I'll go back and double check that. But let me go ahead and add you to the group, Alan, so we can get you in the group and participating. Hang on just a second. All right. Sometimes there's a little bit of lag time. Let me just see if it will automatically pull you up. Sometimes I have to wait a couple minutes. Oh, nope, you're showing up right away. All right, Alan, you are now added to the group. So you should get some kind of notification or something. You can click and then join our conversation directly and participate in that. Of course, now is the end of the call, so it's time to wrap up for the day. I want to thank you for joining me on the call. Hopefully you got a ton of information about how to use social media as a means to be able to book appointments. I encourage you to take action. I encourage you to experiment. I also encourage you to take the challenge. In fact, if you want to commit to making a commitment like sending 10 private messages a day on Facebook, go ahead and post that in the group. Let people know. And you know, put the specific number. Maybe for you it's not 10. Maybe it's 5. Go ahead and post that in there and let folks know. I mean, some people don't have a large network, so you might need to just start with a smaller number and then focus on building your network over time so that you have more people you can contact. So thanks for joining me on the Sales Technology Training Call today. Have a great week, and God bless.